You're listening to Curiosity Invited with David Bryan here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is David Bryan, and this is Curiosity Invited, a podcast inspired by endless curiosity. Tune in for an open-minded conversation about interesting and important things. Hello, this is David Bryan, and welcome to Curiosity Invited. Today I'll be speaking with Jeff Clements. Jeff is a lawyer. He is also the co-founder and CEO and a board member of American Promise and American Promise Education Fund. We'll talk about that when we're speaking. Jeff has practiced law for three decades in public service and private practice, and is the author of a book, Corporations Are Not People, Reclaiming Democracy from Big Money and Global Corporations. He's also the founder of Whaleback Partners, LLC, which provides sustainable financing to businesses in the local agriculture economy. Previously, Jeff had been a partner in a major Boston law firm, I believe it was Mintz, and served as an assistant attorney general and chief of the Public Law Enforcement Bureau in the attorney general's office in Massachusetts. Jeff has helped to start and been a board member on many nonprofit organizations and businesses. He's a very interesting fellow who is aggressively working to get the 28th Amendment passed in place, that's 28th Amendment to the United States Constitution, and we'll talk about that as well in our conversation. So, without any further ado, I give you Jeff Clements. Okay, well, here we are. So, welcome to Curiosity Invited, and Jeff Clements. As I said, I already gave you a proper introduction. And thanks for giving up your time and speaking about what you do. You are a lawyer. You have been for multiple decades, and but most of what you've been doing in the last several years has to do with this organization that you co-founded and are the CEO of, American Promise. So would you do a little bit to? Unless there's something you want to say before you talk about that, what is American Promise, and why should anybody care? Why should we care about that?
Well, I think everyone does care because, and I say everyone, I think most Americans are fed up with the role of money in our political system, the broken political system, the way people aren't represented, the way the parties are just sort of dysfunctional donor class machines in a lot of ways. And American Promise is going to fix that. So if you don't know about American Promise yet, or you don't think you care about American Promise, I hope you will when you check it out, because it's pretty extraordinary. And I'm very proud, not of me, but of Americans, who we have reached over the past 5 or 6 years since American Promise launched. We're nonpartisan, we're cross-partisan, we're Republicans, we're Democrats, we're independents. And we are going to amend the United States Constitution to give us back the power to limit the impact of money influence in the elections, whether it's coming from foreign donors, whether it's coming from, big billionaires or big unions or big corporations. It's to put power back in the hands of the people. And I can tell you, David, it's a lot more fun than practicing law.
It's law. It's the big law. It's law with law. It's capital L, capital A, capital W, rather than just law.
It sure is, because, it turns out, we say we the people, we say government of the people. Most of us mean it and miss it, right? Yeah. It was kind of good while it was there, and it's still there if we seize it. And the ultimate lawmakers truly are us. The Constitution, we think of it as sort of, it came out of Philadelphia in the 1700s. Well, more than half of it came from Americans doing what we're doing, which is amending the Constitution to write the biggest laws in the country, all of us together, to protect our rights and to protect our power.
So back up just slightly, because I'm not sure everybody knows what American Promise is, but it is So why don't you say it, since you know what American Promise is better than I, but
yeah,
it was in response to, tell me if this is correct. It was in response to the Citizens United Supreme Court case, or is it larger than that?
It is larger than that. I'll give you a bit of backstory on my own story for it. You know, the things that we're dealing with in the country have been coming for a long time. So you can't just point to one moment or one case. But for me, when the Supreme Court struck down the Bipartisan Campaign Reform Act, which was, you know, a pretty traditional thing that Americans have done for over a century, which is when money starts overwhelming the voices of the people, we press Congress or our state legislators, depending on where the problem is, to stop it, because we're not a government of money. We're a government of people, and people have different levels of money. So if you want free speech, if you want representation, we need to have good guardrails around how money's used in the political system. And I, you know, so around 2009-10, I'm practicing law. I'd left the Attorney General's office, where I'd been chief of the Public Protection Bureau, a job I liked a lot, but I was going back to the private sector, and somebody called me and they said, there's this Supreme Court case called Citizens United that is going to deal, you know, threatening to strike down the laws of that protect us from corruption and allow limits on money in elections. Thought you'd be interested, because they had heard me ranting about these things before. And so I ended up doing a brief in the Supreme Court. And of course, the decision came and struck down the laws. I went out to Montana and helped Steve Bullock, who was the attorney general at the time, defend Montana's anti-corruption laws. Wyoming had them too. Lots of states had them all over the country. And like most of them, Montana's laws had stood for 100 years. And it had at the time a citizen legislature. The average cost to run for the Senate in Montana, state Senate, was $17,000. You know, a school teacher, a cop, a farmer, a rancher, you know, anyone could serve their community and go up and participate in the lawmaking and represent their constituents. That didn't just happen. It used to be that the big copper companies and the equivalent of the billionaires back in the Gilded Age. Sure. Totally controlled Montana. So they got the people of Montana got their state back by passing anti-corruption laws that limited money in politics. So Steve Bullock said, you know, it's my job. I'm the Attorney General of Montana. I'm going to defend those laws. And a dark money super PAC early version, this is around 2012, filed a lawsuit, said the law is unconstitutional. It limits our freedom of speech, they said. And the people of Montana said, well, who are you? And they said, we're not telling you. we're the Western Tradition Partnership. That's all they would say. No one knew where the money was coming from. And they wanted to spend unlimited money in Montana's elections. So I helped defend the law out there. It goes to the Montana Supreme Court. We win, total win in Montana. Goes up to the U.S. Supreme Court. These people in Washington on the Supreme Court, they didn't even give Montana a hearing. They didn't even allow the people of Montana to be heard. They said the Citizens United decision decided this already. There's a free speech right to spend unlimited money in elections. And we don't care if you don't know where it's coming from. There's nothing you can do about it. So I witnessed, as a lawyer still, the people of Montana, within weeks, they put on the ballot of Montana, November 2012, it went to the ballot, said, we, the people of Montana, disagree with the Supreme Court. That decision will not stand. We're going to pass a constitutional amendment to reverse the decision and get our power back to
a constitutional amendment to the amendment to the Constitution of Montana.
No, the amendment. They said they didn't need an amendment to the Constitution of Montana. That was good law, and the Montana Supreme Court agreed. What they needed was to correct the decision of the knuckleheads on the Supreme Court who didn't know Montana from, you know, L.A. And said that, you know, Montana doesn't have any right to limit money in politics. And they came, you know, that's a relatively recent theory in our history as a country. And the people of Montana disagreed. But, you know, the Supreme Court gets the almost last word on what the Constitution means unless we amend the Constitution to correct the Supreme Court. And that's what the people of Montana said they wanted to do. It went to the ballot in November 2012. The Republican candidate Mitt Romney beat Barack Obama by 14 points in Montana, I think it was. This ballot initiative passed 75% yes to a constitutional amendment to the United States Constitution to stop the Supreme Court interference in the rights of the people to protect our elections and our free speech by dealing with money and politics. So I saw that, David, and I realized, you know, this thing has legs. We could actually win a constitutional amendment. Americans can do this, but there was nowhere to go. Everything was partisan, everything, you know, and you need Americans to do it together. You need 2/3 of Congress,
right,
you need ratification
right.
of 3/4 of the states. And so I joined with many, many other people, and we decided, well, Americans need a place to go to win this fight. And we built American Promise to do it.
Fabulous. That's great. And okay, so why are you confident that once the amendment is passed, because, I mean, the amendment is a short amendment. It essentially says Congress can pass laws regulating how much money, et cetera, are in elections, and that can acknowledge when an entity is artificial and can pass. So why are you confident that even if this amendment were in place, that Congress would pass those kinds of laws?
Well, let's first start with the who's going to pass the laws. Yeah, Congress will deal with the federal elections.
Right.
Don't forget, this issue also affects state elections. We're now seeing super PACs in local school committee races.
Oh, really?
We're seeing it in city council races and sheriff races. So this has infected every level of our election system, and it's tearing the country apart. So we need the states to be able to have the authority to protect our elections. We need our local communities to say, you know what, if we're having a local election here, we don't want a bunch of billionaires from New York coming in and deciding that, you know, our rules about, you know, protecting our public lands or our water or whatever are inconvenient, and they're just going to elect a whole bunch of, you know, billionaire allies,
billionaire friendly allies,
and rewrite the local laws. So it's really about the power of the American people to decide if what's the right role of money in elections. And we're not going to dictate to anybody about what the answer is. And I'm going to get to your question. Why am I?
No.
We are confident that Americans with the power to do it will make our representatives do it. So Congress will have to act. Once we get the amendment in place, that gives us the power. Then, yes, we have to use it. So we need Congress to move on federal elections, stop this craziness of, you know, multi-billionaire super PACs, stop the foreign governments that are spending money in our federal elections. We can do that, but Congress will have to act. We need our states, our state legislatures to act. We need our local communities to put our protections in place. But listen, David, the reason I'm confident we will do that, first, we'll win the amendment because almost every American wants it. Second, when we have that power, we have always used it. Now, it's not perfect. It always needs updating. But, you know, corporations have been prohibited from spending money until recently in federal elections since 1912. Right. So we did that. Then big unions got powerful. It was, again, concentrated power with money in some of the big unions in the middle of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
1948, the Taft-Hartley Act said unions can't spend that money to influence election outcomes. Foreign governments started spending money. We passed laws for that. So whenever we've had a threat that to the voice of the people, the rights of the people, because of money influence, we've addressed it in our history. The first time was back in the Civil War. We passed campaign finance rules. So the danger today is not that the American people lack the will to do it. It's that the Supreme Court says we're not allowed to do it. That it violates the rights of those who have huge amounts of money. And that's what's wrong. That's why we have to fix it.
Would you, Russ, so there's a lot of conversation in the Citizens United and in the language around that decision about associations of people, right? I mean, you know, I have free speech. You have free speech, and we can theoretically together combine and join and say, you know what we believe, and there's a lot of language about why shouldn't associations of people be able to say those things, but at some point, you know. It's one of those, you know it when you see it, it's like somehow the needle goes into the red zone and wait, this is just too much. These people, this is too much power. Is there a way of making sense of that? Is there a way of, would the hope be to eliminate all collective contributions to one side or another in any election, or are there some groups that you would give a give a pass to? Yeah, you should be able to.
Yeah, no, listen, this is not about picking groups that get to have free speech and those that don't. Every American has free speech. And yes, we have the right to associate with each other. We have the right to pool our resources. We have the right to form organizations like American Promise and put money in. We have a right to support political parties that are basically groups of people. We have a right to have if we want to use it, a corporation for something. Usually it's used for business, not for stealing elections. we have a right to have a union so workers can protect their rights. All of those things are useful things that people gather together. Americans are awesome. I mean, we have individuality and freedom to be on our own, but we're really good actually at working together. You know, we solve problems together and we do politics together and we have arguments among groups. But listen, none of that, you're right, the Supreme Court acted like, oh, if somehow we have anti-corruption laws, we're gonna deprive people of the ability to associate together.
Right.
Total nonsense. Here's the trick they were doing. You know why? Like, let's give an example. Like Uber, right? Uber, the biggest shareholder. It's a huge global corporation, and you know, some of the biggest shareholders are the foreign sovereign funds of Saudi Arabia, of Qatar. These are global entities, but the Supreme Court was pretending that corporations are associations of citizens. That's the word they use. And so therefore, we, the American people, don't have the right to limit corporations spending money in elections because that would somehow violate the freedom of associations.
They're not
associations of citizens. It's a lie. You know, Uber is not an association of citizens. It's an aggregation of shareholders, most of which are other corporations. And as I said, the biggest ones are sovereign funds of foreign countries. And so we're going to, and they have billions and billions of dollars. So what the Supreme Court is doing is very dangerous. They're doing a rhetorical trick. They're pretending that these are associations of citizens and then giving them the power of associations of citizens, but they have the power, the most extraordinary power you can imagine, of this global capital that's now going to come pounding in on us in our elections. And human beings in real associations can't compete with that. It's like, that's oligarchy. That's not democracy or a republic. You got me going, David.
No. Yes.
The Supreme Court got me going.
I want to ask questions to push back, but
please do.
But only because I imagine people will ask that, like, why should a wealthy person be able to spend more getting his or her point of view out than someone with lesser means?
Yeah, let's take some examples. So what did we do when we had the power to do it? The question isn't like what I think. I have my own ideas, but that doesn't matter. I'm just one guy. The question is, what do Americans want to do? Right. And there'll be lots of ideas and there'll be, you know, compromises and arguments. And the question is, who gets to decide those questions? Right now, it's five lawyers who've never run for office. They haven't lived in most of the places in America. They're on the Supreme Court and they're just deciding like, oh, you can't do this. Okay, you can do that, but no, you can't do this. Our idea at American Promise is that's really not going to work very well. Put the power in the hands of the American people. They're not going to run around and say nobody gets to speak or somehow wealthy people don't have rights. And, you know, what they're going to do is what we always do, which is we're going to, you know, argue and negotiate and eventually, not very long, because we want these things, we'll have anti-corruption laws that will have rules. So what did we do before? There was no such thing as a super PAC, but anybody had the right to give money to a PAC. And you could give, the limit was $5,000. And I can tell you, not a lot of Americans are walking around with $5,000 they want to give to a politician. So do wealthy people have more voice when we have limits? Yeah, you bet they do. Is that great? Well, that's debatable. But everybody had the right to put money into a PAC, but there was a limit. What you couldn't do is put $100 million into a PAC. Yes. That's what you can. That's what you can do now.
Until you could. Yeah.
Yeah. Elon Musk said he was going to spend $45 million a month. In a PAC. There's George Soros spent $125 million influencing even local elections. So that would have been illegal in the old days. Would that have violated anybody's rights? No. Elon Musk, George Soros, they had the same rights to speak as anybody else. They had the same rights to pitch in $5,000 to a PAC or do whatever they wanted to do. But what we had the right to do was say, look, enough is enough. We're going to have a fair limit. It's going to apply to everybody, level playing field. And, you know, we're going to make rules for, like, corporations or unions probably should have different rules than human beings. That's usually what we've done in the past. Now we got AI, artificial intelligence, coming at us. We got to make rules about that once we get the power to do it. Right now, it's just like free reign because of the Supreme Court.
Wild West. Yeah.
So that's what it's about. It's about the what the American people decide is the right balance, because the First Amendment is about balance.
And Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to push back because I really do believe it strongly.
Well, listen, strongly. I'll be happy to push back because, you know, the Supreme Court, those are smart people. So I don't think
well, okay. So that's the question here. So, yeah. Look, there's been a long history of moving in the direction by these very smart, by different very smart people sitting on the Supreme Court over the years, by very smart people, kind of increasingly making believe that corporations are just like you and me, right? And so we have to treat them just like you and me, sort of. But so to what do you attribute, you know, that and this most recent, I don't know if it's the most recent, but this most recent, you know, when they didn't have to, they decided, these five of the nine very smart people sitting there decided, no, we're going to behave as if corporations, you know, are just a group of citizens, and we're going to behave as if that's true. Why were they bought?
So I honestly practiced law for a long time. I have a lot of respect for the Supreme Court. I don't care if they're conservatives or central.
They're very smart people. I agree.
They're smart. I think they have integrity. I think these are hard issues. They always are. You know, cases don't go to the Supreme Court if they're easy, right? They get decided already.
Absolutely.
So there's a different point of view, and you know, the other point of view is if Americans have the right to limit money in politics, some people will not be able to do whatever they want to do to be heard. And you know, maybe technically that's true. If a billionaire or a corporation wanted to spend, you know, $45 million
a month
to elect every person in the state legislature, and nobody else got to participate in that, and that would be like the ultimate and you can't limit anybody's right to free speech. So if you have that view, this is the result. So if you have the view that any limitation on spending money in elections is a limitation on speech, not just a limitation on money, but a limitation on free speech. Look, we don't want limitations on free speech. We want free speech. I want free speech. I've defended you know, people speaking freely all my career. But
not without limits, right? I mean, you know, I can't give a speech in your bedroom at night, right? You know,
So I think the Supreme Court just got it wrong, but I don't think, and I think it was some difficult questions, and they've been going. The Supreme Court has wrestled with this for about 30 to 40 years. You know, this has been and you had liberals who were deciding that we can't have limits on money in politics, and you know, you had conservatives like Chief Justice Rehnquist saying, no, the states have a right to protect it's a republic, right. The states get to decide their own rules. And then it flipped around and conservatives started thinking, well, we shouldn't have limits. And the problem is the Supreme Court and the people on it are not well equipped to make these judgment calls. They don't know how money actually works in politics. So they say things like associations of citizens. They say that independent super PACs, so-called, will not lead to corruption. They just say these things, but they don't actually know. And so they're making assumptions that then lead them to conclusions like limitations will violate free speech. So to my mind, look, that's a legitimate argument. And right now, from our polling, from our results, which I'd be happy to talk about on the progress we're making, yes, with the amendment, we see about maybe 5 to 10% of the American people think that we shouldn't have any limits at all and let money flow, no problem, right? So I respect every one of those Americans. That is a viewpoint. That is a perspective. I disagree with it. And so, but the point is, again, who decides? Should it be the 85 to 90% of the people who get to decide that? Or should only 5 to 10% of the people who think that any limit is unconstitutional always get to have their result? Well, you know, that the Supreme Court, it was decided it was the second one.
Yes.
That, right. Just like you wouldn't want 85% of the people deciding that, you know, David Bryan doesn't get any rights. You know, it doesn't matter if it's only one person. You don't have a majority vote on individual rights.
Right.
So that's what the Supreme Court decided. But now we've seen it in action. So we've now had 12 years of unlimited money. We've had about $100 billion spent on elections.
Which is astonishing. We really should underline that. $100 billion.
$100 billion. Almost all the money is going to sort of channels that are driving the negative attacks, the character attacks, the attacks on our fellow Americans, like they're trying to destroy democracy or they're trying to destroy the country. It is tearing us apart as a country. You know, if you wanted to destroy a country, you would spend $100 million for over a decade saying that the country and half of the country is horrible and trying to destroy it and that you can't trust anybody. And that's what we're witnessing. So the experiment about free speech and money in politics has failed, and now we have to fix it.
Okay, so you made reference to it a moment ago. So you've been, well, American Promise has been doing this for 6 years?
Yeah.
7 years?
Yeah.
So how are you doing?
We are doing great. This is going to happen. And let me tell you why. If you haven't heard about it, first check out the For Our Freedom Amendment. That's what we're putting up. And as David said, what it does is it just says we, the people, have the right to protect our free speech rights, our federalism, so that the states have their role in this constitutional republic, that we have the right to have anti-corruption laws. And then Section 2 says, therefore, Congress has the power to pass level, even-handed limits and regulation on money, how money is used to influence federal elections, and the states have the power to do the same thing with state elections. Very simple. And then Section 3 says we can distinguish between human beings and artificial entities. Well, what are artificial entities? Corporations, unions, and artificial intelligence. Now, what it doesn't say is whether we should do that every time, whether what the exact limit should be. That's going to be up to the American people. And remember, not just now, but this has got to work in 50 years. It's got to work 100 years. This is in the Constitution. We don't even know what money is going to look like or what communication is going to look like then. We got to get this in place to deal with what's coming at us. So that's what this does. So we take this around the country. We need a 2/3 vote in Congress to get it done. But we don't just go to Washington. We go to, you know, local communities and farmers markets and, you know, anywhere where people are gathering. And we have thousands and thousands of volunteers out there spreading the word, getting petitions, doing what Montana did, pass a ballot initiative. 7 states have done that since Montana did it. We're 7-0 every state. The most recent, let me tell you, was Maine. Last November, Maine said, we want this constitutional amendment. We want the power to limit the influence of money in our elections. 86% yes vote. So that's what we're seeing. Now, 22 states have gotten behind the amendment, like Montana did. The seven were ballot initiatives. Some states don't have ballot initiatives. The rest were legislatures. These are cross-partisan votes. We just passed the House in Pennsylvania. Republicans and Democrats who don't agree on much in Pennsylvania or anywhere else voted together. Let me tell you about Wyoming. We got a majority vote in the Wyoming House last session. It needed two-thirds, so we didn't quite get the two-thirds, but we got a majority vote. So we're making a lot of progress. So we work in the states to get the states behind it, to get the people behind it, let people learn more about it, have the debate, and then that leads to support in Congress. So we've got a lot of support in Congress. There's a new breed of Republican member of Congress, frankly, that is very supportive of this. The old sort of corporate Republicans like Mitch McConnell were very much using big money in elections to get wins. Right. And control. Chuck right. Schumer on the Democratic side does the same thing. You know, the leadership has big super PACs, so they don't always want to change the system. But we have all the Democrats and we have a lot of Republicans, including, like, you know, Josh Hawley saying Citizens United is not originalism, constitutional law. We're having very interesting conversations about that. And so we're going to get that two-thirds vote in Congress in the next couple of years.
And how many states have to support it?
Well, after it comes out of Congress, it'll be ratified by the states, and that will be three quarters or 38 states. And that's why we're getting the states ready to ratify now. Right. This isn't going to be a 30-year thing. It's not going to be even a 10-year thing. We need to do this now. And so the states are getting ready to ratify. We'll get it out of Congress in a couple of years. It'll go to the states. We'd like to get it ratified in, you know, promptly, a year, 2 years most after that. And we think we can.
And I mean, I'll make sure that to put up on the screen websites, et cetera, et cetera. But what can people do if they want to? They can obviously go to the website. They can donate money, et cetera, et cetera. But what else can they do?
So the website's the starting point. It's AmericanPromise.net. We have what's called a citizen pledge. If you want to, you know, you can always sign up for the newsletter and all that.
Right.
If you want to get behind this, we have a citizen pledge, and you can read it there, see what it says. And if you like it, sign on, because that's demonstrating that we, the American people, we don't care how you vote, who you vote for. It doesn't matter if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent. We're showing we're standing together on this. So that citizen pledge is really a great first step. And then there's also a volunteer form. If you want to volunteer, you put in your information, you put in your zip and your address, and then you will hear, I promise you, from our staff, their job is not to do the amendment. Their job is to support Americans getting it done. And you'll have a conversation about what you want to do, where you live. And it's, so it depends on where you live, which is the beauty of it. It depends. We've got a great Rotary program. So if you're a Rotary member, we're doing Rotary presentations. The four-way test is, that Rotarians know very well. It's very aligned to this. We have a lot of Rotarians on board. We have local chambers. If you're a business person, small business or big business in your community, business people support this. We're talking to local chambers and business groups. If you're a veteran, we have an open letter of veterans going to Congress. We want to sign on to that. So we make a pledge that every American can do something if they want to, because amendments to the United States Constitution, you'll never know, like, who did that? It's never just one person.
It's an association of citizens.
Yes, it's truly the American people, or it doesn't happen. So this is not the usual, go sign up at the website, and then we bury you in emails and asking you for money.
There's somebody who feels like, geez, this is a good thing. I would love to help, but I don't know what I could do. They should sign up anyway.
They definitely should sign up. If they're not sure what to do, that's all the more reason to sign up, because we will tell you.
Yeah.
We will tell you.
If
you can't think of anything yourself, we will give you plenty to do. We're very good at asking people for help. Let me give you a couple of examples. We have a candidate pledge. Did you know over 330 candidates, and about half Republican, half Democrat, have signed a pledge saying, if elected, I will move this amendment forward. And you could be running for the school committee and sign that pledge. You could be running for Congress. You could be running for president, anything. We want every candidate, because we want the voters to know who's with us,
right,
who supports this constitutional amendment, the For Our Freedom Amendment, and who doesn't, because we think voters will make their choice based on that. So the candidate pledge, anyone can go to an event, go to drop by the local office, send an email to any candidate, sheriff, school committee, you know, whatever, state legislature, ask them to sign the pledge. You can get the link. It's on the website. You can go do a letter to the editor of your local paper. You can join your friends. We'll connect you up with people in your community. Head out to the farmer's market where we put up a table and some American Promise material and talk to your friends and neighbors. And there's a lot of great stuff. And frankly, it's a lot of fun. You know, it's not, it's such a remedy and a sort of healing of this terrible political process.
Well, I think that's, I think that's one of those things that, you know, somehow has been lost over the years, is that, that people coming together and associating with each other, working on stuff, is actually a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. It's a source of fun that, that we don't even think about, because we're all so siloed in so many different ways.
Yeah, so true. So true. I see, you know, we just had our national conference. We brought people in to Washington from all over the country. All you know, all the American Promise volunteers, candidates, legislators, had a good showing from all the states, every region, all the different, you know, points of view and perspectives in politics. And we gather together. People love to connect. Hey, what's going on in your state? What's going on? Hey, Maine, how'd you get that 86% win?
Right.
You know, share ideas. And then they go up to the Capitol Hill, and we call it Citizen Lobby Day. And they go meet with their legislators. And I tell you, David, they people come out of those meetings. They come out of the volunteer work in American Promise, and their faces are lit up. You know, it is fun. It is empowering. You know, when so many people feel like, hey, I don't have power. I don't have a voice. Nobody listens. Nobody cares. It's not true. We have power. People, we care about each other. We're going to do this together. And, you know, we're going to make history, and we're going to fix this broken system, but we're going to have a lot of fun along the way too.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. It's, you know, it's, well, it probably is an overstatement to say the problem that has arisen in response to, or as a consequence of, Citizens United is at the core of so many wrongs, but it's so at the core of trying to fix so many wrongs. It's not like the money has caused everything, although it's caused a lot, but it's so often in the way of fixing those things. The fact that it, that things are so askew, they're so out of whack, they're so out of balance.
I think so, that's a really important point, David. I'd love to just spend a minute on it, because
please,
what you're saying is, you know, we hear it all the time. And what brings people to this, brought me to it, is this isn't about, most people don't care about campaign finance wonk stuff.
Right, exactly.
It's about one of the most boring things in the world.
Right.
What we care about are the ability to solve our problems, the ability to, you know, have a good job and take care of our families, you know, the ability to have clean, healthy water and air to drink, the ability to, you know, just live, you know. We don't want to, most people don't want to deal with politics all the time. But we want our political system to solve major problems.
Right. You know?
And we are completely unable to do it, because one of the things the money is really good at is stopping things. It's not that good at getting things done. It does that too. You know, yeah. If billionaires want a tax cut, boom, the system will move very
fast. There it is.
Very fast. But for problems that affect a lot of people and average people, money can stop it in so many ways. Let me give you some examples, because we talk to people in Washington behind closed doors. They'll tell us the truth. They say we are spending 70% of our time on fundraising. We can't make laws because we don't even talk to each other. As soon as we can, we are out going to fundraisers. I was talking to a congressman who's up for election, close district, and I won't say what it was because he was speaking privately.
No problem. I get it.
I trust, and I respect that. So, but his story is normal. It won't surprise anybody. He had to be in Washington for a vote. He actually stayed to speak at our conference, which was great. So there's a clue. There's only a few members of Congress who spoke at our conference. But and then he wasn't going back home. He wasn't going back to Capitol Hill. He was going to New York City because he's got a raise in a district that has no major city, no, it's very rural. It's the second most rural district in America. He's got to raise $30 million to run for the House of Representatives. So he was going straight to New York because he had to do a fundraiser. He had to meet with the rich people. And that's what they're spending their time on. So just the time alone is one thing. But the other problem is that's who they're listening to. That's the, they don't have time to hear from the people in their district. And then finally, what the unlimited money of super PACs does is if you try to compromise and cooperate with, you know, someone on the other side, if you try to pass a law where it might impact, you know, somebody who has a lot of money or some corporation or some, you know, business, you will get not just not just pushback and not just like you won't get the money. You will get a multi-million dollar attack campaign in your district, and you'll get a primary against you. And they won't talk about the issue that they actually drove them to want to remove a legislator. What they'll do is smear you. They'll say you're trying to destroy America. They'll say whatever works to defeat you. And so that paralyzes our representatives because they're afraid. You know, one thing we know about politicians is they want to get reelected, right?
They want to get reelected.
They want to get reelected. We've seen how, for God knows why, but for some reason they don't want to leave. They don't want to leave this system. And so how can you get reelected? Well, you don't get reelected by going out on a limb and provoking a super PAC to run candidates against you. So you keep your head down and you don't do anything. You don't do anything because doing something will just get you in trouble. And so we are paralyzed as a country going over the cliff and nobody's at the wheel. So it turns out the American people got to grab the wheel and fix this thing.
Well, I'm sold, you know, I wish I wasn't, so I could ask more pointed questions, but I just think it's just so important. It is so important. And I thank you so much. Well, wait, let me ask you this. What should you say? What do you want to say that you haven't had the opportunity to say? If I knew something, what would I have asked you?
Oh, you know, we could talk all day about this. You know, you said, how did this happen? What about corporations being people? You know, why did the court do this? You know, I could go on all day. I think it's actually very interesting. And, you know, there are complicated questions here. Like, we wouldn't want corporations to be like seized by the government. You know, we wouldn't want our small business, you know, you might own a coffee shop downtown. And that might be a corporation, you know, and you don't want your business messed with. So, you know, corporations do need protections, but we will do that. People do that. We always have. We, you know, nobody's coffee shop has been seized. You know, that's it's just, we don't have to like imagine some false.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, exactly. So we could go on all day about some of the issues. They're interesting, but ultimately the biggest, most interesting question comes down to very, very simple, which is, do we or do we not as Americans have the right to have some limits on the way money is used to influence our government and our elections? If the answer is no, well, we're looking at what that looks like.
That's it. We've got that for the last 12 years or whatever it is.
And that's just the beginning. What does it look like in 20 years?
Yes.
What does it look like in 30 years? If you like what you're seeing now, then that's where we're going.
Keep going.
Most people don't like it. So we have to answer that simple question with a yes, we have the power to do it. So therefore, we need an amendment. So that's really interesting. It's hard. It's complicated. But it's actually very simple. It's a question. Do we have the power or do we not? So
the particulars could be complicated. Like finding the line could be complicated. But we so often say enough.
Yeah.
To certain things, right? I mean, I've got a really fast car. But guess what? You can't drive it at the pace that you want to, it can go, right? I mean, it's like we do it all the time. Enough is enough.
All the time, you know. And, I'm from New England. We have town meeting. We've had town meeting for 400 years as our form of government.
You know, some of them feel like they last that long, right?
Yeah, it's older. It's an older form of government than America. You know, the when I actually am from Concord, Massachusetts, where the revolution began, and you know, on April 19th, 1775, when the British were coming and the Concord, you know, farmers and townsmen decided to stand and fight. They had been governing themselves in town meeting for 150 years by that point. So I say that because it is frustrating and hard, and you stay out. So everybody in town, if you're an adult citizen, you have a right to go to town meeting twice a year. It sets the taxes, it sets the town budget, and there is debate. And you really learn that, you know what, Americans have a lot of different views, we'll disagree on a lot of things, but after the debate, we usually get to a good answer. And if it doesn't work, we'll fix it at the
next time.
And right. So, you know, it's as simple, like, you want to put up a stoplight at the four corners. I guarantee you that will, a town meeting, that'll go on for 2 days about whether that's a good idea or not. Right. But in the end, the stoplight goes up or it doesn't.
But
nobody says we don't have the right to have a stoplight and say, and somehow overturn the whole system of government because they don't like the answer. You know, So you're right. This is about when is enough enough. And so this is going to fix it. And I guess the one thing I'd say, if you're asking me, you know, what would I say that we haven't really said yet, is I just say to all your listeners that this is the time to do this. And a constitutional amendment, you know, you can roll your eyes. You can say, oh, it'll never happen. There's a lot of reasons why you won't go to AmericanPromise.net and sign up. But the fundamental answer to that is that can be an excuse, because if you don't, and if you tell yourself, oh, this will never happen, it's too hard, I'm just one person, it's an excuse to do nothing. And to do nothing is disaster for the country and for ourselves and our families. And so when I this, and so it isn't about me, it isn't even about American Promise. It's whether we believe in ourselves as Americans again. And I know we will get this done because I've seen millions of Americans vote for it, stand out in the cold, in the snow, with a clipboard, getting signatures. People are doing amazing things. So I would just urge people, get in the game. You'll have a good time. We'll make some history. We'll fix this problem.
And we'll get back to normal fighting.
If you're trying to do that or you can't do it, just believe that we can and tell your friends, hey, we can do that. There's no reason we can't do that, because I think, you know, we're told all the time, frankly, by our political system that we suck. You know, we're told that our neighbors suck, or that
that we don't amount to anything.
Don't believe it. You know, we do extraordinary things. And you know, I'm a lawyer, so I got the privilege of watching juries. Juries are just 12 people in the community. They're from all walks of life. We give them the power of life and death. We give them the power to put somebody away for 20 years. We give them the power to really deal with some complicated issues. And I have just been blown away by how good Americans are at that. Doesn't mean it'll be perfect every time. Doesn't mean it'll be right every time. But we got to believe in ourselves. And let's get this done, is what I say.
Well, Jeff Clemens, thank you so much for being willing to come and speak about this. And I think it's so important, and I'm hoping that everybody goes in. And again, it'll be up right now. It's up on your screen. You don't see it, but it will be in the edited version. So thank you so much.
Thank you, David. Really great to talk with you. I appreciate the chance to spend some time with you.
You're listening to Curiosity Invited with David Bryant here on LA Talk Radio. We'll be right back.